Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
Well, it's all over for Notre Dame baseball, unfortunately. We are just coming off. Notre Dame's just coming out. What, it finished maybe 25 minutes or so ago as we get this live show started on YouTube. Welcome to everyone who is already in with us and working over our chat boards right now, along with Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Stiers, and we're going to be talking Notre Dame, Texas A&M. College World Series, the elimination game today. Coming into today, Notre Dame had to win three games over the next 3 days to get to the College World Series Championship Series this weekend. Didn't quite go that way, though. Also coming up here in a little bit, we're going to have another Notre Dame baseball guest. Former Fighting Irish assistant coach Scott Lawler is going to join us, and he'll impart some of his both humor and wisdom upon us. Scott is a real great guy, and one of, you know, especially in terms of like the last couple staffs post Paul Maneri, he is the Fighting Irish assistant coach that I definitely keep in touch with the most. There's another one after that who is up at Michigan State right now. He's a good dude to Graham, but well, let's just get into it, Vince. I guess, you know, I'll just say this first of all. I said this the other day. It was the lead that I actually had in the article after the Oklahoma game. And unfortunately, feel exactly the same way today. Getting to the College World Series is hard. Winning at the College World Series is even harder. And we just, you know, we just saw that from this Notre Dame team. Sure. As great as they looked in that opener last Friday against Texas, unfortunately, they were a different team these last couple of games. But, yeah, you know, sometimes other good teams make you play that way. You do have to tip your cap to both Oklahoma and to Texas A&M. You know, and like, I look at A&M specifically, and we just kind of touched on this, I think, a little bit yesterday. I had it in my game preview today. I don't think they hammered it home necessarily in the broadcast today on ESPN, but Jim Schlossnagel is a really successful college baseball coach. He was at TCU for a long time, took him to the College World Series five times. He basically put TCU baseball on the map. They were a doormat before he showed up. I think it was like 16, 17 years ago now at this point. This is his first year at Texas A&M. They were not expected to go anywhere. They win the SEC West. And here they are in his first season, you know, back in the College World Series. So, you know, I mean, like you could see in the preparation and the play that his guys played with, you know, that they're coached by a really successful coach with a long track record of getting teams to Omaha.
Well, they had 9 wins last year, right? 9. So that's a big difference being in not taking over a 9-win ball club and then taking them to the World Series in your first season out. Now, we talked about how difficult it was going to be for Notre Dame to win 3 in a row. Texas A&M has to win 4 in a row, and they're halfway there. I mean, they won yesterday. They won today. They've got to win tomorrow, and they've got to win the next day. So they had a harder road than Notre Dame because they lost their opening game of the World Series, right? So they have to win 4 games in a row, but they're halfway there. And, you know, they played really, really well today. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get into this, but I think Notre Dame helped them a little bit as well. But it was it was a hard game to watch if you're a Notre Dame fan. There's no question about that. They did. It was not. It was obviously way more similar to the game that we saw yesterday on Sunday than it was we've seen for the rest of the playoffs from Notre Dame. And that, I think that's the most disappointing part, is you expect a team to play a certain way, or just, you know, certain approaches at the plate, certain ways to be on the base paths, and just the, what we've come to know from Notre Dame in the last two games, it just didn't show it. And I think that's the most disappointing thing for me, is you want to go out as the team that you are, and Notre Dame just didn't play Notre Dame baseball.
Even if you're going to lose, you want to go down
exactly,
you know, with what got you there, essentially. Right. And you know, again, we talked about it in yesterday's show after the loss to Oklahoma Sunday. This is a team that, even if they're not necessarily hitting the ball, they thrive on contact. Just hard contact is what they're looking for. And hard contact plays to that ballpark. And, you know, the sacrifice bunts, the running the bases. We never really saw them get running in this College World Series. And that also is due in part to the fact that these last couple of games they were playing from behind. And, you know, you get behind, you can't be quite as aggressive. You don't want to run into outs on the base paths when you're trying to make up a deficit and all those kind of things. And you know, the other side of it too is defense let them down the last couple of games. The sack bunt the other day, you know, with the throw up the line. And then, you know, the probably the biggest defensive game, you know, again, you only end up with one run, and you don't get it until you finally get a home run from your number nine batter in the eighth inning.
But
the defensive play, you know, again, like Jack Brannigan, part of a great defensive infield, but the decision to throw to first with the bases loaded on that ground ball, you know, that backhand behind the bag, instead of coming home to get the runner, maybe even have an outside shot at a double play if you come home right away. Probably wouldn't, but, you know, like I said, an outside shot. But instead, he throws across the diamond. It's in the dirt. Boom, two runs score. And, you know, as it turned out, those were really the only two runs that A&M was going to need today, because the offense wasn't able to get going. But the, you know, again, you know, that play, that pop up that they weren't quite able to reel in behind second base, you know, those two plays right there, you know, again, this is such a great defensive infield, but unfortunately they weren't able to make a couple of plays like that.
Yeah, and that, again, that's the most disappointing part for me, is they didn't go out playing their style. Like, good defense, putting the ball in play, putting pressure on the other team. That's how I would describe Notre Dame baseball this year, and the last two games that's not the team I saw. You know what I mean? And again, you have to tip your cap to the pitching of the other teams. You know, the pitching from Texas A&M and the pitching from Oklahoma, they stymied Notre Dame. I mean, they had 14 strikeouts 2 days ago. They had 8 strikeouts today. You know, it just wasn't enough of an offensive threat to do much on the base paths when they did get guys on. They left some guys out there. They did leave some opportunities out there. There's no question about that. So, it, you know, as a fan, it's disappointing. I understand that it's very difficult to win in the College World Series. There's no doubt about that. They were the last team standing that wasn't an SEC team, so I'll give them credit for that. You know, I believe Stanford and Texas were already out, so they were the last team standing. So you can put that feather in your cap, I guess, on your way back to South Bend. But I know that it's not the way they scripted this thing out. I think they had a lot of momentum coming into the World Series, and they just didn't ride it real well. They wrote it in the first game, and then the last two games were a bit of a disappointment. But again, this was a great season for Notre Dame. I don't want to get wishy-washy for the whole season.
We'll get there in a second. Let's talk a little bit more about this game first. We'll get to the bigger picture stuff in a little bit.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But, you know, like yesterday, and you were sort of weaving in and out of this a little bit. I talked yesterday about if you're going to get through these elimination games, because both teams, Notre Dame and A&M, came into this game in the same situation.
Right.
They were going to have to win 3 games in 3 days to try to get to this weekend and play for a national championship. You do that, you're going to have somebody step up from a pitching standpoint that maybe you don't expect. Now, Nathan Detmer has been kind of their big horse all year, but his last 4 or 5 starts, he had not been good. And he started in their opener last Friday in their loss to Oklahoma, and he lasted just 1 2/3. He gave up 7 earned runs. He had allowed at least 4 runs in his previous 6 starts coming into today. And so they throw him on short rest, only 3 days rest. He only pitched 44 pitches because he got roughed up and had to be yanked so quickly against Oklahoma last week. It's really not a whole lot different than, you know, like the rain delay that Notre Dame had at the regional when they brought back John Michael Bertrand a couple of days, you know, later to pitch in the regional. So, you know, because the outing was so short, they're able to bring him back, but he steps up and has his best outing in like 2.5-3 months with the 7 shutout innings that, you know, that they got from him today with, and then the 6 strikeouts as well. So, you know, again, if they're going to get through this, just like if Notre Dame was going to get through it, they had to have somebody step up, and he came back on short rest and was able to do that.
Yeah, that was a heck of a performance. He had the Notre Dame hitters guessing. I mean, they were making contact this time around. It wasn't as bad of a strikeout scenario as it was in the last game against Oklahoma, but it was all ground balls because of the sinkers and staying low in the zone, and it was just a lot of routine ground balls, a lot of it to the left side, and the Texas A&M defense backed him up, and that's what you want. If you're going to throw ground balls, your defense needs to back you up, and they did.
The other side of it was, you know, Jim Schlossnagel in the mid-game interview. Usually you don't get anything noteworthy in those interviews. The A&M coach, Jim Schlossnagel, told ESPN, hey, Notre Dame's helping us out by swinging early in the count. You know, his guys, they wanted to be patient, you know, do all that kind of stuff. Notre Dame was helping them out, and again, you know, like you saw it from Brannigan in was it Brannigan? Yeah, first pitch flyout in the 7th inning. He ended up walking in the 9th, but you know, they you've got a guy going into his 7th inning. He's been out there all game. First flyout in the 7th inning. You know, it's like a little more it just seemed to me like they were pressing today. You know, like they were trying to win all 3 games in one day. It seemed like, you know, just kind of watching, you know, all these
they
different
the
things
pressure
that we're talking about, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, they
too
definitely felt, you know, the pressure. At least that's the way it felt. Yeah.
The big question we thought for Notre Dame coming into today, who are they going to start? We were talking about Jack Findlay yesterday. Do you go with the freshman? Well, that's not what Link Jarrett ultimately decided to do. They ended up instead going with Liam Simon, And he had, I mean, he came out doing what he needed to do. First pitch strikes with that fastball.
Yep.
Unfortunately, like, it took him a little bit to get, you know, his slider going. He was unable to kind of locate it early, but he ends up striking out the side in the first inning. You're going, okay, well, you know, this is looking pretty good. And then, you know, kind of back and forth in the second, leadoff double, a walk, seven straight balls he threw.
That was the rough
part. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, a strikeout and a pickoff later, boom, you're out of the inning. And you're going, okay, well, he's battling. And then in the third inning, you know, the bases end up loaded. They have to bring in Findlay with the bases loaded, you know. So it was very up and down for Liam Simon. Findlay, you know, couldn't quite get him out of the jam. They get a couple of runs. Again, they're behind 2-0. But again, you know, like the throwover by Brannigan, all that different kind of stuff. I guess, bottom line, what did you think of the decision to start the more veteran Simon as opposed to the young guy Findlay?
I mean, I get it. I understand that you go with a veteran, you know, in an elimination game. I understand it. You almost, though, as a coach, need to take a step back and almost erase the names and the ages and all of that and just look at the numbers. And I think you do need to go with your hottest hand, and that would have been Jack Findlay. Now, he didn't have a great outing today, you know, and so maybe the coaching staff knew something that we didn't know. I don't know. But, you know, he wasn't as effective today as he has been in the last few times that he's been out there.
Yeah.
And Simon was a little bit up and down, too. I mean, he did have five strikeouts, but he gave up a few hits and he had that one earned run. So, yeah, I mean, it was the unfortunate part is giving up any amount of runs was too many because of what the offense was
doing. That's the thing. And that's what I was going to say. It didn't matter who they started ultimately because, you know, When you're only able to score one run, you're going to be putting way too much on your pitcher,
right?
And that from that perspective, and that's ultimately what happened. You know, the way it turned out, it didn't much matter who they ended up starting because the offense just couldn't get it mustered. And unfortunately, these are the totals for Notre Dame's offense in their three games in Omaha: 31 strikeouts and 6 walks after 8 strikeouts and 2 walks today. And, you know, and again, the bulk of that came in the last couple of games because of all the strikeouts against Oklahoma the other day. Just very uncharacteristic. But again, you know, you're facing other elite national level.
You're in the College World Series. I mean,
You know, those kind of things happen. It's just the unfortunate thing is, you know, like in 2002, that team lost their first game. They win that dramatic come from behind game in game 2, and then they lose another close game, you know, in the elimination. I think that we all got really excited. And talking to some former Notre Dame players when I was out there in Omaha, everyone was really excited after seeing them take down Texas the way they did in game 1. And so you start off with all this, you know, you get a little momentum, you've got all this hope, things are looking great. And, you know, I completely said it as well after seeing the way they played against Texas. If they had played like that for these last couple of games, they'd be playing for a national championship this weekend. And, you know, absolutely. But it's just a completely different feeling that you have now losing 2 games like this. You know, it really kind of negates all that early positive momentum and feeling that you had about this team after seeing this the last couple of games.
Because it's what you remember last, right? I mean, it's the what have you done for me lately kind of a scenario. And, you know, as we get further and further away, kind of similar to the 2002 team, right? They had that amazing super regional against Florida State, knocking off number 1. Notre Dame did the exact same thing in Knoxville, knocking off number 1 Tennessee. And then they come and they go 1-2 in the College World Series. And the 2002 team went 1-2 in the College World Series. So I think as we get further away, I think fans hopefully will appreciate
this level of appreciation.
You know what I mean? Sure, yeah. Appreciate it more than what we're feeling right now. But it's raw right now, man. Like, that game just got over less than an hour ago. It's raw. As I was watching that game today, it was disappointing. It wasn't the team that I have been watching for the majority of this season. And again, if you're going to go out, man, you want to go out how you've been playing the whole year. And if you get outplayed playing your game, then so be it. You know what I mean? And I think there's going to be some regret from a lot of the players and the coaches that, man, that wasn't us. You know, those last 2 games, that just wasn't us. That's not how we play. And that stinks. You know, that's the worst way to kind of look back on things. And I think as they get further away from it as well, they're going to appreciate the, you know, what it was and being there and all of those different things. But hey, once you step between the lines, man, you're a competitor and you want to win and you want to do everything you can to win. And so it's going to be disappointing that they lost in a manner that wasn't reflective of who they were as a team.
Well, like when you look at that 2002 team as well, even going into Omaha, there was definitely a Cinderella feel that that team had because, you know, again, they were a number two seed, you know, hosting a regional. They got to host the regional, but they were still a number two seed at their own regional. They had never won a regional before. They finally win a regional. Okay, so now they go to Florida State. They beat the number one team in the country, and boom, here they are. And like you said, the similarities, this Notre Dame team had to go to the number one team in the country and win a super regional as well. But the difference is, you know, again, 2 weeks ago, how long has it been now? 3 weeks ago, I guess, you know, we're talking about this team as a potential top eight seed, and maybe they're hosting, you know, regional and super regional all the way through. Now, we all felt like they got jilted when they had to go on the road for the regional to begin with, and then they've got to go, you know, to number one Tennessee to win a super regional. But to me, you know, especially after the way last year ended, going to Starkville and being right on the precipice, just missing out.
Should have won that second game. No doubt.
And again, it was like that second game came down to a defensive play or two, uncharacteristic, you know, losing uncharacteristically.
Sure.
But my point is, you know, they go down there, they duke it out. They're in this really hostile environment.
Right.
That team ends up winning the national championship. So you come into this year feeling a lot different with so many guys back from last year's team. So like this team, even though there were times where you're wondering, man, are they going to be able to even win a regional again? It's still because of when you couple it with last year, there was a lot less of that Cinderella feel. I think there was definitely a feeling like this team definitely belonged on this stage. And so even though things didn't work out the way they'd like these last couple of games, there's every reason to believe that they deserve to be there. It's just, you know, they didn't go 2-0. Two other teams went 2-0. You know, they beat a team, Texas and Stanford, coming into the College World Series were the two Vegas favorites to win the whole thing, and they both went 2-0.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, there's plenty to hang your hat on for this Notre Dame team. Plenty to hang your hat on. I'm interested to see what this roster looks like next year, though, because there were so many veterans on this team. And I mean, they said it a million times that, you know, they were starting eight seniors and one junior. And I mean, I know they've got obviously some talented true freshmen.
And most of them graduate seniors.
Graduates, well. Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what is this roster going to look like next year? That's going to be a pretty massive question mark. We can dive into that a little bit, but I'm obviously disappointed as a fan. I love watching Notre Dame baseball, and I love watching baseball in general, and it's always fun when you have a dog, you know, in the fight. And so it's disappointing, but man, what a great season by, you know, Link Jarrett, his coaching staff, and the rest of the team.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it was, well, I'll say this, being out there in Omaha, a lot of the talk was about what's going to happen now with Link Jarrett. And, you know, that is the next question. I realize we're only less than an hour since this game ended, but that is the question right now. And do you want to get into it right now?
I think we
should talk about it because that's what's next. You know, the games are over now. And like Brian and I had this conversation, I didn't want to get into this kind of stuff while they were still out there in Omaha. I thought it should be, you know, more about that. But the next big question is now, can they keep Link Jarrett? And, you know, for people who maybe still haven't, you know, kind of followed, you know, all the connections down the line, we're talking about a guy, Link Jarrett, was born in Tallahassee, Florida. He played for Florida State three times in the College World Series for Mike Martin Sr., who retired 3 years ago. When Mike Martin Sr. retired, Link Jarrett, who was then, of course, at UNC Greensboro, and Mike Martin Jr., were basically considered the two top candidates for that
finalists.
Job. Yeah, they went with the son of the Hall of Famer. No surprise there. But just before the Super Regional a couple of weeks ago, they fired Mike Martin Jr. So if you're going to fire the son of the Hall of Fame coach who, you know, led your program to 40 straight NCAA appearances after the guy who was fired, you know, also just led him to two NCAA tournament appearances. You know, yeah, I don't think you have to look too far down the line to who the potential replacement is. Sure. And, you know, that was, again, a big topic of conversation out there. And I just think it's going to be, you notice Florida State still hasn't hired a coach, and you haven't really, you know, if you've been looking, you haven't found too many reports that there are other names that are popping up, you know, so that's what's next. I just think it's going to be really tough. I think it's going to be really tough to be able
to keep him. And it's not all about, I tweeted about, you know, they got to do whatever they can to keep him and all this stuff and, you know, open up the vault and all that. It's bigger than that, though. And I want to make sure that people understand that. I was being a little silly, you know, on Twitter, but like,
you are silly.
I am a silly guy, but I mean, it's part of it. I mean, it's part of it, right? I mean, when Coach Maneri left, I think he tripled his salary. That's part of it. It's not all of it. Like that LSU had a special place in Paul's heart, and clearly Florida State has a special place in Link's heart. I mean, that's home. That is what it is. And so I think it's salary's part of it, but you know, you mentioned this the other day, right? When Florida State Stadium became 20 years old, they literally leveled the whole thing and started over. Mm-hmm. You know, Notre Dame Stadium, I mean, well, it came about in the 90s, yes? Does that sound accurate to you? What?
Early night. I think Paul Maneri said his first year was the second year of X Stadium. So it was like 94, 95 it was built.
And the upgrades.
So we're going on 30 years here.
Yeah. Soon. And the upgrades have been to the home side. They have like a meeting room and they've, you know, fixed up the locker rooms and stuff, but there's still a ton that needs to be done. There are literally high schools in the area that have a better scoreboard than Eck does there. I mean, that's just a fact. There's nothing on the visitor side for visitors when they come in here. They are literally going to ACC schools on a regular basis that have way nicer facilities than Notre Dame does. And I know Notre Dame has their policies that they have to have all the money in place and all these different things before they do stuff. But you're going to have to put some guarantees on the board that, hey, this is going to be done by this time. And this is going to be done by this time and all these different things. And even with all of that, even if Jack Swarbrick backs up the Brinks truck, shows him the timeline for all of these improvements, it still might not be enough.
Yeah.
Because home is really, really important to people. And I totally get it. As much as I want Coach Jarrett to stick around, I think he's been an amazing piece of this program, and he's brought it back to prominence. He took them to only their third World Series of all time, you know, the program.
Yep.
You don't want to lose them. Nobody does, but it's going to be really, really hard.
With that, I think it's time to bring in our guest tonight, and he knows something about the program as well. He is standing by, and there he is, that smiling face of the one and only one and only Scott Lawler, former Notre Dame baseball assistant coach. How you doing today, buddy? It's been a while.
I'm great. A little better. I wish the Irish would have won, but yeah. Just like you guys did, and an amazing run, but so a little better if they would have won. So
yeah, you know, we'll circle back to some of the Link Jarrett talk in a little bit, but you know, let's kind of start with just where this program is right now. And again, you know, you're a guy who's been here before, and mm-hmm. you know, as a guy who's not here anymore, you've fully been behind the Irish all the way. So what's it kind of been like to see the success that Link and his staff have had here in these last 3 years?
I think I tweeted out maybe a couple weeks ago that I think Link Jarrett and staff should be the staff of the year, because a little what you guys were talking about competing in the ACC, competing up north. I think the amazing thing is Lincoln staff have not just established themselves as one of the top teams up north, but just one of the top baseball programs in the nation.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. You don't just say, oh, they're a great team in the north. They're one of the top programs in the nation the last 3 years, and an amazing feat by Lincoln and his staff.
Well, and I think that a good deal of the country had pretty much written off, you know, this Notre Dame program before mm-hmm. he took it over. You know, it was pretty much left for dead, I think. And you know, just to see, in a really short amount of time, you know, what he's been able to do. What do you think, you know, like when you watch these guys, I know you've been to maybe a handful of games, you know, in person over the years, but you were watching today, you've watched, you know, on TV and on, you know, the internet, wherever you've had some opportunities. What do you think about, you know, just what you see from these guys, you know, whether it's at the plate, on the mound, all these little things and kind of the way they go about their business?
Well, I'm going to say this, and no disrespect from any of the guys that I coached or even the staff after us. I think the toughness of the team was evident that you got to see to this year and in the last couple of years, and not just from like four or five guys, but from the complete the bullpen, the starting pitchers, the way that they did their business at the plate. And that toughness is a you know, whether it's the senior leadership, the coaching staff, which I'm going to give credit to the coaching staff, I think they've done an unbelievable job of creating that toughness that you need to be able to compete nationally. And I think Link came in with like, these are my goals and we're going to get there. And it's evident again that he's shown that him and his staff have done that with the program. So I think it's that toughness that he's brought to the program.
You know, I was just saying before you came on about being out there in Omaha over the weekend and, you know, kind of talking to people, you know, both within the program, around the program, and, you know, not mm-hmm. in the program, just people talking, you know, this whole Florida State thing, you know, it was a conversation out there. And just like looking at the team today, you know, did they look like maybe a little tight? Like, you know, like maybe there were some, you know, kind of questions, I guess, you know, maybe.
I don't know about tight, or they just faced a really good pitcher today.
I mean, you know, that was part of it too, for sure.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that the team has done an unbelievable job of hitting velocity, and they have, whether the guys are throwing 93 to 96 or they have done an amazing job of just having great offense against its velocity. And today they met a guy that was sinking it and twisting it and moving it, and they didn't have that good of bats today. And, you know, I just give credit to the pitcher today. So do I think they look tight? No, I think they looked like they wanted to win and just weren't patient enough with a guy that you got to be. And there was no walks. And again, tip my cap to that pitcher. He was unbelievable today. So
yeah. And a pitcher, you know, we mentioned this earlier. He threw like 44 pitches Friday in their opener against Oklahoma, gets knocked around, 7 runs he gave up in an inning and 2/3. But this is a guy who, like, in the middle of the season, he had 3 consecutive starts where he didn't give up a run. And then, you know, unfortunately for them and for him, he had, you know, been a little bit rockier coming into today. So this is a guy who, like, he knew that he was fully capable mm-hmm. of that. And to, you know, to turn around and be able to have this performance on 3 days rest, you do have to tip your cap to what he was able to do today against the team that we've seen, you know, can be dangerous out there.
Absolutely. And you know, there's 2 things. I think in that first inning, you're like, oh, here we go. A&M's made a lot of errors during the year.
They
make an error
right away.
You know, they put the bunt down and you're like, they're going to chip away and win, you know, 5-2. And the pitcher settled in. And one thing is I've seen with guys before, sometimes when a pitcher comes in, like their starting pitcher that got rocked a little bit, you know, or touched a little bit before, when they're a little bit tired, sometimes the ball moves better. And today, you know, it might have been one of those days that maybe he didn't feel it, but it worked better because it, just the movement on some of those fastballs on the outside corner, that would have been a tough day to hit today for anybody.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things we were talking about this earlier, Jim Schlossnagel said during the ESPN interview that he felt like that, you know, it was working to Texas A&M's advantage because Notre Dame guys were being so aggressive early in the count, and they never kind of went off that. Were you maybe a little surprised that they didn't kind of adjust that approach midway through the game, considering, you know, how it was working, you know,
into A&M's
hands?
But at the same time, sometimes when a pitcher's not walking people, it's hard to be patient. And again, they wanted to win it. And sometimes it's hard to tell your guys, be patient, and it's going to get to you when they want to make some action happen. And it just never happened. I think even Schnauschegel taking this pitcher out in the 8th inning, I believe, you know, he was still worried about the Irish coming back. It wasn't just like, okay, we got this game. They were worried all the way into the end of the game with this offense that the Irish has had all year. So, but again, I'm tipping my cap to that pitcher today. He was unbelievable.
Okay, so Scott, you know, you again, you've coached here before. You know what the facilities are like. Now, you know, they've done some things like the team room, you know, the clubhouse, you know, some of those things, you know, more externally, those things don't help you, you know, when it comes to hosting regionals and having a chance to host super regionals. And, you know, Vince was talking about the scoreboard. So, you know, what do you think about the facility itself? Like when you're talking about, you know, supporting a college baseball program, you know, if you want to really truly be competitive year in and year out, what are some things that you know, as a former coach here at Notre Dame that maybe would be on your wish list, you know, if you can sort of be able to accomplish some of those bigger picture things?
I think if, you know, you walk around, my uncle coached at Texas A&M for 22 years and got to see their stadium and rebuilt, you know, and I think Louisville that we've competed against for years, their program really took off when they upgraded their facility. And I think that is something that the Irish need to do is upgrade the facility, even if it doesn't happen soon, but just have plans for Lincoln staff to show kids, like, here's what's going to happen if you come here. You're going to get this coaching staff that's going to coach you. You're going to get this great education, which everybody knows. That was as a recruiting coordinator before, that was the biggest selling point. You're going to get an unbelievable education. But if you show what's going to happen, whether it's a weight room in the facility, just all little different things that Link can show the potential kids coming in, that's going to help. And I think that's some of the things that I need to show. Because I think right before I came on, you guys are talking about, it was 94-95 with Paul Maneri. That was his second year, and it really hasn't changed that much.
Right.
Still a great, great field, don't get me wrong, and they've turfed it, but it still needs some major upgrade if you're going to be a national power. And Link has made it a national power again. And so they need to, you know, get it up to that. So when Link goes out and the coaching staff to recruit, it matches some of the other programs in the ACC with the education you're going to get. Facilities with the education.
Well, and you know, I realize that, you know, a big, bright, shiny scoreboard and a jumbotron doesn't help you, you know, win baseball games or even put butts in the seats and, you know, host regionals and stuff like that. But the bottom line is they've got a high school scoreboard out there in the field. And, you know, it does matter, you know, like we're talking about an NIL era now. And again, when you go around to these other facilities, that kind of stuff matters to these guys. And, you know, just, you know, do you have to raise some money to do it? You know, but that's something that does matter, doesn't it, Scott?
It does. And, you know, being a high school coach myself right now and doing that for like the last 10 years and seeing what's important to these kids, it is all about the facilities and the uniforms and the marketing. You know, we want to say that that's not the important thing. It's the coaching you're going to get. It's the education as a parent myself. And believe me, when I had recruits come in, it wasn't very hard to sell mom and dad, you know, but if you had a kid come in and they were at Vanderbilt or LSU, and compared to what Notre Dame as a facility, they're going to be like, well, that's going to be a tougher decision. Mm-hmm. So let's just make that not a decision anymore. And now you're going to get that great education, great coaching staff, and you're going to have the facility to match. It's going to be second to none. And if don't get me wrong, Notre Dame is a very special place, believe me. And I know you guys know that too.
Right.
So it is a very special place. But if you do upgrade that, then you're going to be matching everything that Link's doing right now.
How surprised were you that they weren't picked as one of the regional hosts a couple of weeks ago?
Very surprised. I think that was a tough thing because I think they deserved it. I think they were in the national limelight all year with pressure and, you know, maybe one bad weekend against a really good Louisville team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think one weekend should take that away. And now, did that give the team a chip on their shoulder? Maybe. And maybe that helped them get to the World Series. And I think I'm believing in that. But now that, you know, you get past that, now it's like, no, we want to host, because I think we all realize this. If you host a regional and host a super regional, it's easier to get back to Omaha.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And I think that's what everybody wants to see by having Link stay. is I think what Paul did 20 years ago was amazing. It's amazing what Link just did, but like, let's see if we can do it again with what Link's doing right now.
And I, you know, again, I think that this program had obviously, you know, like I said, been written off, and Link Jarrett just showed people that here you are, you can do it. And I think that's finding a way to capitalize on that momentum. I think that's very important right now.
And I give a lot of credit to the administration for giving a guy down south a chance to coach up north. I think that's something they steered away from in the past. And I know Paul was down south too, but he was up north also. But taking Link and having him take some of the style and the recruiting that he learned from down south up north, I think it's opened up the door that, you know, Notre Dame can be a great school for anybody to coach at. And you're right, Link came in and had a plan and is executing it right now. So I'm hoping that he stays, but I also know going home is a different thing.
Yeah, I mean, going home and just all of the benefits of this specific home that come with it.
Yeah.
Florida State, the weather, you know, just the whole thing. It just, man, it seems like it's going to be tough to keep him up here.
It is going to be tough. And Vince, I think you brought it up before. You know, for all Notre Dame fans, it might not be anything to do with Notre Dame.
Exactly.
Notre Dame facilities. And it might just be the home tugging at his heart.
Right.
And that's something that no dollar sign or salary, 5-year deal or what have you is going to do anything to. And, you know, that's something that's going to be between Link and his family. And my thing is tip my cap to him if he does go. Wow, what an amazing job you did for the Irish.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, it's hopefully Notre Dame is like, all right, we need another Link Jarrett. So what do we have to do?
Coach, can I ask you a quick question? It's a little off topic, but recruiting to Notre Dame is different than recruiting anywhere else, especially when it comes to baseball, where you have limited scholarships and you're splitting them up and you're doing all these different things. I want to get an idea of what it's like, because going to Notre Dame on a limited scholarship is way more expensive than going someplace else on a limited scholarship. Does that scare some people away? And how do you deal with that as a recruiting coordinator on the coaching staff?
I think the biggest thing you got to sell is just the, as Chuck Lennon would say, you're going to have the family atmosphere forever. It's not just a 4-year decision, but a 40 or 50 year decision. And you got to sell people on that. And it is, it's a special place anywhere you go. I don't care if it's New Jersey or California or anywhere, you're going to see that Irish pride everywhere. But it is still tough because, you know, when you go out and say the coaching staff needs a shortstop, well, you might find 5 or 6 shortstops you really like, but not all of them can get in academically.
That's a good point.
And that's a tough thing. So, you know, for their staff right now, they got to go across the country and find kids with good grades. And then when you splice it up, they can afford it. But you're going to sell that special place, and a lot of people fall in love with it. And as you can see, Lincoln staff did an outstanding job of doing that.
You know, and I've said this before, that 4 for 40 seems like an, you know, you hear it, it's like, okay, nice catchphrase or slogan or whatever, but getting to be around some of these guys from the 2002 team celebrating their 20th anniversary this year and seeing the success that a lot of those guys have had that has nothing to do with baseball.
Yep.
And like going back and seeing, you know, some guys from some other classes, they're literally millionaires that have come through this program and the millions, you know, obviously Jeff Samardzija is another story. And even, you know, AJ Pollock and guys like that, Trey Mancini.
Yep.
But there are a lot of guys who are millionaires right now based on that 4 for 40 that you're talking about that's come in realms other than athletics.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, on TV, which was kind of special for me, you know, I saw Alan Green on TV.
Yeah.
As the Auburn athletic director and Brant Ust, who I helped with Team USA is doing some amazing things in athletics. But there are so many other good stories, too, of people that are part of the baseball program that are doing amazing things. So, there's a lot of things you can sell and a lot of people that you can talk to that you can tell these families. You're going to be part of a very special family for the rest of your life.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Again, again, you know, we don't know what Link's decision is going to be, but, you know, we all have a pretty good feeling about what it's going to be. So let's say he does go to Florida State, and, you know, we've been talking about facilities and all these different things. You know, if the next coaching search comes, you know, one, again, Link has shown that you can do it. So I would think that that's yep. going to draw, you know, a different kind of candidate than maybe, you know, when Link was even looking for this job. But at the same sure. time, you know, how much of those things do you think that is going to be in the ask from these guys, you know, if Notre Dame really wants to be serious and hire some yeah. of these guys?
I think it's going to be an ask, because the thing is whoever comes in, if Link leaves, they're going to want to have the same success or more. So they're going to be like, well, if we're going to do that, I'm going to need help. And I think it's going to be time for them to look at that and decide, you know what, maybe they're right, and let's get after it. So I think it's going to be an ask from some people, because, you know, I still think people are going to walk in and think, well, Link did a great job, but can you do it? You know, and hopefully, like Link, I think, talked to Paul Maneri. You know, hopefully they talked to Link, and Link gives his special sauce on how to do it. Absolutely. So that would be very helpful for the Irish if he. But again, I hope he stays.
Yeah, for sure. Scott Lawler, give me the number one place to go when you're in San Antonio. There, you know, we made a few San Antonio trips over the years. The number one San Antonio spot is what?
Oh man, there's a lot. There's a couple taco places. There's a couple places that I think I had.
Our boy Sluggo and I were talking about Taco Cabana.
Taco Cabana. You know what? I still with you and Birchie and the rest of the crew. Scott Stansberry. I still remember yep. some of the songs, you know, that we used to listen to. I miss those days.
Was it Amarillo by Morning? If I
Amarillo
remember right,
by
was it?
Morning. Absolutely, that was our slogan every time we went to San Antonio.
That's
good
right.
Good people, good teams. I mean, it was fun with the whole Irish clan there.
That's right. Scott, it was great to catch up to you, man. It's good to see your face. You know, we kind of text, and every once in a while, you know, we'll call, but it's good to see you. And go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you, especially after I commented after Ryan Conley got on the air.
Well, you know, but you know,
I love Ryan Conley too. So I just
again, we were texting over the weekend, and we had just said, hey, you know, what about coming on sometime? And then, of course, I had Ryan Conley on first. We just had him on yesterday, and you had to let us know about it. So
no.
This would be a perfect time.
No, exactly. So, but thank you for having me on, and let's cross our fingers that Link stays.
You know, let me ask you one final question.
Yeah,
I just
no
thought
problem.
About this before I let you go, because again, you know, when you talk about advantages, you know, all these different things, I think it might've been when you were on the staff. I know there was some talk, you know, about baseball charters and stuff like that. And, you know, there is something called Title IX. I mean, so it's like some of these things, you know, sound like simple solutions sometimes, but ultimately other factors come into play maybe that don't make some of these things so simple.
Yeah. And I think it's not, you think, you know, like they have some grad assistants, or it's not grad assistant, but graduate players that are playing now. That's different.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, whether it's Link or somebody else, I think you got to go in with the plan. What's going to make your job even easier? What are other programs doing? And find out from some of the other programs how they got it done. So does that have to go throughout not just baseball, but softball and other programs? I think that's something that Lincoln staff need to figure out to and when I say make the job easier, I'm not making it so it's a lazy thing. It's just making sure that it's even with who you're going against to try to get back to Omaha. And right. and I think where everybody, and I think this was, and Sean, you'd know this, you know, I think everybody caught a little Notre Dame baseball fever, probably just like they did in 2002 with Paul.
Right.
And let's just keep that excitement going. And how do you do that? You know, let's not make it a every 20 year thing. let's figure out how to have it happen a couple times. And you'll just see that baseball will catch even more. And you'll start probably seeing more donors help. Not that there's not donors out there. I'm sure there is. And maybe
no, there are, but I mean, that's obviously the next step, you know, like
yeah.
when you talk about, you know, because again, there are plenty of Notre Dame baseball alums, you know, who have made a good living, you know, since they left. And you know, if those same baseball alums want to see this program continue to succeed, you know, they can hopefully kind of help them out a little bit, you know, dig in their pockets a little bit deeper.
And I think that's, you know, whether it's AJ Pollock or Trey Mancini and so forth, have hopefully been out there cheering and watching and catching the fever, you know, as they're playing their seasons, that they're, you know, they're listening to people and like, well, how do we keep this going? Right. It is fun to see your school in the news in a positive way. Yeah. And you know, I got pictures over the weekend of different alums like Eric Jagielo in the stands and Adam Norton. And I could go on and on. I'm sure that other coaches got plenty more kids out there that were at the game. And, you know, that's what it's all about, because guess what? They want to go back to Omaha and say, that's my team.
Yep.
Well, you know, and that was cool too. And, you know, like just seeing Ryan Connolly out there and Ross Brzozowski and Dan Capella was, you know, and a ton of other guys, you know, and the guys that you just mentioned as well. It wasn't just, you know, like it's easy to say, oh, the 2002 team, because they were celebrating their 20th anniversary. There were so many guys from so many different teams and so many different eras out there. It was really cool to see them, you know, getting back behind this program and being out there cheering on this, you know, this program out there.
So you need to take notes of everybody you saw and then do a GoFundMe or something like that. So
that's right. That's exactly right.
John Stiers will single-handedly keep this thing going.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, Scott, this was kind of a bubble guy when you were, you know, between Maneri and you guys. Was Mike Dury still playing when you that's what I was thinking he was. Yeah. I was thinking he was. Yeah. I don't know, you know, what if you've heard about him, I found something. He's very successful. Let's just put it that way.
I've heard that from many people. So yes. So maybe he can start the GoFundMe. So.
There you go. Mike Dury, we're gonna put it on him. Big switch hitting Mike Dury, who is also a left-hand pitcher out of the bullpen.
Absolutely.
Hey, Scott, again, it was great catching up with you, buddy. Yep. I'll be talking to you soon. Hopefully see you this fall.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Go ahead.
All right. Absolutely. Take care, Scott.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Length of games at the College World Series always comes up. Yep. And this game today ended up being about, what was it?
It was about 3:15?
Close to 3.5 hours, I think, by the time it was all said and done.
Okay.
You know, and everyone always talks about length of game, especially when it comes to the College World Series, because these games are televised.
Sure.
You know, pace of play is an issue, you know, regardless in baseball.
And they were using the pitch count, too, or, you know, the pitch clock.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a thing.
I have seen there were some ideas that have been floated both out there, and I actually was listening to some that ESPNU, they have like a radio channel, like a satellite radio channel. So I was actually listening to that a lot coming back. There've been a couple of different, not, you know, formal proposals, but people talking about this. One is a run rule. Do you think that in the postseason, there should be a run rule for college baseball games? You know, again, with length of, because we've had a couple of lopsided games out there in Omaha this week. What do you think about the possibility of a run rule?
I have no problem with a run rule, whether it be in the regular season or the postseason. Let me take that back. I like a run rule. I have no problem with it. If you're going to have it in the regular season, you also need to have it in the postseason. I wouldn't have it one or the other. If you're going to have it in one, it needs to be in both. Just needs to be how you play the game. And I would have no problem with it. And for many reasons, I have been, you know, as a coach myself, I've been on both ends of a run rule, right? And sometimes getting run ruled is not the worst thing in the world because you can save some of your pitching. You can live to play another day. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can get out of a run rule in a positive way, even though you lost
Yeah.
And there's a lot of positives that you can get out of it as obviously as a win too. So I have no problem with a run rule, especially in college baseball. Now the pros, not so much.
We're talking specifically for college baseball, right? Because again, like, you know, you do have scholarship limitations. And when you're talking about pitching, you know, that is an important thing. When you're talking about playing back-to-back games,
I mean,
you know, like if Notre Dame had made it through this and Texas A&M is going to be in this situation
four in a row.
Yeah. You know, what do you do to get through those games and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, like if you have, like, say, you know, 12 run rule after 7, 10 after 8, you know, something along those lines, I would have no problem.
I have
with that.
Zero problem with that. Zero problem with that.
And I mean, like, you look at this College World Series specifically, there have been no comebacks lately. You know, it's like Notre Dame gets a home run and then gets a couple runners on, and it's like, oh, here we go. And, you know, theoretically they had a chance, you know, getting a couple runners on. But, you know, it's like there have been no comebacks in this College World Series. And, you know, and I think when it gets that far apart, when you are that far apart,
just let it go. I have no problem with that. It changes your strategy a little bit when you're the team that's winning. You know, you're trying to put your foot on the gas and really grab those runs to kind of make it that 10 run rule. But again, I have no problem with it. It's not a sportsmanship issue for me. It's a save your pitcher's arms rule for me, to be honest. And I have zero issues with it. I think it's a good thing.
Now, what about this one? Because, you know, again, this was more maybe media generated, but I've heard some floating around. What, you know, what if for the college game you make them 7-inning games, you know, to sort of match what you've got in softball? Softball, you've got a 7-inning game.
I didn't even realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What do you think about that? 7 as opposed to 9 for college baseball.
Just like all forever, like all just games. Change it, just chop it off.
I mean, high school, you've got 7.
High school
games,
is 7.
Obviously.
Yeah, high school is 7, which I love. We wouldn't have made it to 9 innings in a lot of those games pitching wise. So I love it. I think I'm going to stick with the 9 innings in college baseball because you are allowed to recruit to your team and you can bring in as many pitchers as you need. So I have no problem with it being a 9-inning game. I think that's a good place to start 9-inning games. I have no problem with it being 7 in high school, but once you get to college, now you're talking recruiting, you're talking adult men, you know what I mean? Like, I have no problem with it being 9 innings. I would not want to chop it. I think that would be a bad move moving forward because you've got kids that are playing college baseball at the same age of guys that are playing professional baseball, and they're playing 9 innings. So if my counterpart can go be pro and they could play 9 innings, well, then I should be able to play 9 innings as well. So I have no problem with it.
Yeah. And like when Notre Dame was back in the Big East days, if they would play a doubleheader, the first game would be a 7, the second would be a 9. You know,
you'd
see some 7s every now and then. Yeah. You wouldn't typically see 2 7s, but you know, like you still see that in minor league ball. Well, you have a couple of 7-inning games. But I agree. I don't like the idea of structurally changing the game in that kind of fashion just to speed it up a little bit more, you know?
Right.
I think that, like you said, it's a Division I college baseball game. I think it should be a full 9-inning game and not be going back to 7s. The run rule, I think, makes a lot of sense. You know, and I've seen a lot of questions kind of looking over here at the chat. You know, they're talking about the 11.7 scholarships and stuff like that. And I saw a question earlier. The rule for the 11.7, you know, one, the reason for the 11.7 is, again, because you have a counterpart, softball, you know, a sport that is similar but different, which I think that we talked about before. But because of that, you know, they only a college softball team typically only has like 3, maybe 4 pitchers at the most.
Right.
And, you know, you've got a handful of reserves. So the roster is smaller. So that's the reason for the 11.7. with baseball, even though you have up to 30 guys because of the fact that you've got to have so many pitching arms. Yeah. But the allotment of the 11.7, there's a 25% minimum basically. So it's 11.7 total scholarships, but you've got it. The least you can give is 25% of a scholarship.
If you're going to give one out, I mean, so,
yeah, and we should have talked to we should have talked to Lawler about that since
how they
since
divide
we had him in here.
Yeah, I know.
Earlier,
I really could
all that, especially as a recruiting coordinator.
I could have dove into that with him. I mean, it would have been boring for everybody else. But like, how do you split it up and how do you decide, you know, who you're going to give bigger scholarships to, and does the academic scholarships come into it, and all of these different things? I mean, there's a million different ways that you can do it, and just for our friends in the chat over there, it's different at every level too. You can go NAIA baseball and you can go for a full ride because they can make up whatever rules they want, and right. and they can give all kinds of athletic money, all kinds of academic money. And then Division III, I believe there's no scholarships at all. So it just, it's very interesting from the different levels of college. And I'm learning it as I go as a high school coach, trying to get my guys into different places and, you know, what is going to be financially viable for them and all of these different things. And to be honest with you, if they're not going Division I, it's all about academics, man, because there's a lot of packages that you can get put together based on academics and where you can still play. And I know you dealt with this with your son. I mean, he was going to school for a lot of academic money too, as well as right. athletic money. And so right. it's all about the GPAs, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for this show. And you know, unfortunately that's going to do it for Notre Dame's baseball season as well. Congratulations though to Link Jarrett and this team for getting to the College World Series. It had been 20 years. And, you know, quite frankly, that those kind of in between years seemed like even longer.
They were lean. There were some lean years. And I know you were doing play by play for some of those. And
Chuck Freebie did more of the lean years. So, you know, I'll give him that, he had to put up with a lot more than what I had to put up with. So
those are facts.
That
right
is
now.
For
Hall,
sure.
Hall
that
of Famer, sure. Chuck Freebie.
Yes, that's right. But, you know, so there'll be less college baseball talk going forward. We'll still hit some here and there, especially following what's going to happen to Link Jarrett and what's going to come next, you know, so we'll be, you know, it's the middle of June though. First full day of summer, the longest day
that's
of the
right.
year and all that. So we'll definitely be getting into much more Notre Dame football talk.
Yes.
You know, in upcoming shows, starting with tomorrow. But again, you know, we've got the rapid fire segments and some of that different stuff. So we'll be jumping into, you know, we'll always have a lot of different topics on a lot of different sports on this show. So, but this will be our final fully baseball dedicated show for a while.
Yes.
So Stymie says, really enjoying the new show and the baseball coverage. No problem. Thank you, Stymie. We appreciate it. Good to hear from you. And, you know, thanks to Scott Lawler again for coming on today. Thanks for Vince D'Addario. And always, Jesse was with me out in Omaha this weekend. And I teased a little bit yesterday. He met Alan Green, the athletic director at Auburn University. And there was quite a story that came with that meeting. So on tomorrow's show, you'll hear that story about how my son met the Auburn athletic director and what a meeting it was.
So I can only imagine.
That's coming up tomorrow. But again, we'll have some more Notre Dame football talk coming up. A lot of Notre Dame football talk coming up on tomorrow's show as well. So looking forward to that. And, you know, we've had, knock on wood, we got through. How long have we been here? We made it a full hour and no technical things on my end, unlike yesterday. So, yes. All right. Well, I will talk to you later.
Yes, Vince. Sir. I will be there.
All right. Sounds good. And, of course, if you watch the YouTube live stream, if you come in the middle of it, you can always go. You can find it on our YouTube page, the Irish Breakdown YouTube page. You can find the archived episodes, and of course you can also find all the archived podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. So we will talk to you, IB Nation Sports Talk. We'll talk to you on the next show. Till then, I'm Sean Stiers. He's Vince D'Addario. We'll talk to you later. We'll be right back.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.